Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Here we are, Thursday, May the 7th, 2020, 19 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears along with you for the ride today. And it's going to be a good day here on WWGH Radio. We've got 2 hours this morning. Had a lot of great conversations yesterday, and then coming up at 10 o'clock this morning, 10 to noon, we've got the Charlie Evers Show. Glenn Coble and I will be sitting in for Charlie this morning, and then we have Swap Shop with Glenn Coble today from 12 until 1 p.m., and then the Adam the Computer Guy Show from 2 to 3 today. So it's a full day of programming here at WWGH Radio. Let me give you a little update here this morning. Just because I like to do this now every day to let you know where I am. This morning I went through McDonald's and I did get my change back. I'm still doing the $1.10 thing. Got my 3 cents back, so everything's good there. We can move on fast past that. And also, interestingly enough, I did not cut myself shaving. So I have not had to use the styptic pen yet. So everything is good in my world at this particular point. So I don't have anything to say as far as shaving and change goes. How about that? Who would have thunk that after all this time with those problems? So because of that, I thought we would have a whole other type of conversation this morning. Because we're in the middle of this coronavirus, COVID pandemic, and that's dominating the news every night. And, you know, you get that news everywhere. We run the news reports every hour, and hopefully you hear them and take away what you take away from the news reports. But I don't want to spend the time here on the program talking about that, because I think sometimes it can be a little overkill for everybody. So we're just going to talk about other things today, kind of broad subjects that are fun, and we might even do some trivia later on today, who knows. But one thing I want to talk about, well, see, I wrote a few things down here, bullet points, that I wanted to talk about this morning. And I'm going to start with this one, because this happened yesterday. Okay, here's the deal. Because we got so many questions on this, I feel like I have to address it, but I can't really give you the answer. So I'm going to try to explain it maybe a little better than I did yesterday. Here's what happened. We take these, you know, 10 to 15 minute breaks at the top of every hour. Now, yesterday, between, I guess it would be between 8 and 9, the 9 o'clock break, I did something. And then I came back at about 9:15 and I said, boy, a lot of stuff goes on during the breaks here that I really cannot talk about. And one of the weirdest things I've ever done just happened during the break. And I got a lot of questions about this yesterday from a lot of different sources asking me what had happened during that particular break. Well, here's the problem. There's no way that I could tell you on air what happened during the break. All I can say is it involved a person, and I can't tell you the person because I don't want to say it on air and, you know, implicate them in any way. Not that it's a crime, but I just don't want to implicate them in what was going on. And the other thing is, I really can't mention it on the air. I mean, I could, I guess, clean it up a little bit, but I don't really want to say it on the air because it's not something you would talk about in polite company. So here's the deal. I really can't tell you any more than I have already told you, but It was one of the weirdest things that has ever happened in the break of any radio show that I have ever done. So, just think about that. What can you do in 15 to 17 minutes? And all I can tell you is that I never thought in my wildest dreams that during a break that something like that would be going on. And maybe one day I'll be able to tell you on the street what was happening. But just ponder that in your mind. So many people have asked, I can't tell you, and that is that. Now, yesterday we were also talking about people who look their age. Because I was telling you yesterday about somebody who guessed my age low. Which, you know, that's a compliment. I appreciate that. And then I got an email yesterday from a listener. Yes, I guess it would be a listener. I got an email yesterday from a listener that, how do I want to say this? Because I never want to give listeners names because I figure if they're emailing me, maybe they don't want to be on the air. So in any event, we're talking about how old people look. And what does an age look like? It looks different for everybody. And I don't understand this when we say, well, you don't look your age. Well, what does that mean? You don't look your age. Well, what does an age look like? What does 80 look like? What does 40 look like? What does 20 look like? I don't know what these ages look like. I guess they look like what you look like at that age. So you don't look your age. Okay. Well, in somebody's very well-thought-out email to show me this whole age thing, it's interesting because what they sent me was a picture of clearly what was a very old person who it looked like no longer had any teeth in their mouth. So it made them look even quite older. But it was the implication that the person was 31 years old. Matter of fact, let me see if I can pull this email back up so I don't mistake it. See, if I was a real professional, I would have already had this email pulled up and ready to go. Okay, here it is. It says, here's Debbie. Debbie is 31 years old and has been homeschooling her kids for the past 4 hours. Great job, Debbie. Keep it up. And clearly, Debbie is not 31 years old. She is much older. And the note that the listener wrote in the email was, my daughter sent me this after one of her homeschooling mornings. So I guess that kind of explains looking your age. I guess 31 is supposed to look young. And if you are gray-haired and maybe have one of those hair things over the top of your hair and you look older. So I guess that the implication is obviously you can look older. So looks in a way do mean something when it comes to age. Now, does anybody have anything to say about this? Does anybody get the whole looks thing? You look your age, you don't look your age. Do people tell you that? Let me know what your feelings are on this. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a call, and we will talk on the air about what you think. Now, I'm looking. See, the last few days, I have not really paid a whole lot of attention to my messages that I get on Facebook, and somebody just put a guess in again, and here's something I can't tell you. Somebody just put a guess in as to what I might be. Well, I don't think they were saying that I did this in the 17 minute period yesterday during the break, but it's something that I guess could be done in 17 minutes, but I don't know. I don't know. Oh, man. I don't really think that's... No. We certainly can't talk about that on the air. So, There you go. What can you say? Some people's minds are a little offbeat. Not bad offbeat, just a little offbeat. But that's the way it goes. Okay. You know, some people, even getting up at this time of the morning, have interesting minds. Now, this reminds me of some during the break. Let's get away from that. Okay. Because I can't talk about it. I can't tell you, and I don't want to spend any more time on that. Now, here's another thing. Now, this is on my mind heavy. Because I know something has happened, and I don't want to say that the person did not show or anything bad happened, but here's the deal. At one point this week, somebody said they were going to bring strawberry pie and a fresh drink here for breakfast on the morning show. Well, for whatever reason, this never happened. I think this conversation happened on Monday, and it was supposed to happen on Tuesday. Now, I will say that the person did email me on Monday night and said that this would not be happening on Tuesday because something had happened. Totally understand that. But now here we are on Thursday, and it still has not happened. Now, I don't know if this trauma is a huge trauma. It possibly could be a huge trauma at this particular point. I just don't know. So all I know is in the strawberry pie department, I cannot say at this point what became of the strawberry pie, but I know it did not go in my stomach, so let's say that. Now, a lot of people who are... This is funny because, you know, during this COVID crisis, there are not a lot of people in the radio studio. And people now are trying to guess who was in the studio yesterday at 9 o'clock in the morning when this whole event happened that I can't tell you about. Well, it was nobody... I can tell you this. It was nobody who was on the air yesterday. I can tell you that. Because Glenn does not come in until 10, and I think he was the only other person here yesterday. No, Jeff Ruth stopped in for a little bit. Okay, let's see here. We have got... What else do I want? You know, this morning's thoughts are kind of off the wall, to be honest with you, because I didn't have any McDonald's stories, and I didn't have any... shaving stories to tell you. Oh, here we go. Let's get into this now. Maybe we'll come back to this whole during the break thing sometime later on. Now, last night, I was around somebody, and this is a funny thing to me. The person comes up to me. This comes back to hair coloring. The person comes up to me and says... Well, I asked them, I said, well, what have you done today? And they said, well, I got my hair colored. And clearly their hair was a different color, much darker than it had been the last time I had seen them. And I said, oh, that's nice. Well, when somebody tells you that they've had their hair colored, you look at their hair. And I was standing right next to this person, and I'm looking directly at their hair. And I notice, because their hair was parted, you know, at the top, And I'm tall, I can see when you have your hair parted at the top. I noticed that where they had parted their hair, it was dark all the way around, and the hair was dark, but there was this little thin line of red that was still at the top of the hair. Now, I pointed this out. That's the type of person I am. I pointed this out immediately to the person because on the top of their head, I thought, well, maybe they don't know that they did not get it all dyed. And they said, no, I know there's a little line up there. The person who was dyeing my hair, who I think was the person's sister, did not get it dyed all the way, I guess is the best way to put it. But what do you say? Would you tell somebody that their hair was not dyed all the way if they were telling you about their hair being dyed? Which kind of leads into the bigger question. Would you tell somebody the truth about something, even if you thought it might hurt their feelings? Now, I know some people probably have an opinion on that. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Would you tell somebody the truth, even if you thought it was going to hurt their feelings? That's a big question. I don't know. I'm a little borderline on that. I would tell somebody the truth if I thought it was going to affect their life. And I guess last night I told this person the truth when their hair was not finished all the way. So I guess even superficially I'll tell the person the truth to a degree. But would you tell somebody that? Would you point that out? Because I pointed it out last night because I thought, well, maybe you might want to finish dyeing your hair to a darker color. So let me know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But you know, here's another thing. And this kind of figures into the hair coloring bit. Okay. For a long time on this show, I talked about people who sent me pictures in the morning. And this was a thing that started, I'm going to say, about a year ago. Because now through Facebook and all kinds of other things, emails, people can send you pictures. Everybody's phone has a camera on it now, and everybody sends all kinds of pictures. So I started to get pictures from people, and usually they were funny pictures. You know, something to make me laugh. And then I think it became a, what do you want to say? I think it became a kind of like a game, because people knew I was looking at them on the air. So it sort of became a game to make me laugh or shock me in a way so that I would have to pause on the air, because people can always tell when I'm looking at or reading something on the internet. And that was fun. That was always good fun. I think sometimes people write things to try to shock me on the air. A matter of fact, I know they do because they've said so. So people will write things or they will send these pictures. Now, the funny thing is, just now I leaned over to my side and the person who I'm talking about who dyed their hair just sent me a picture of their hair, and it is fixed. So I can give you a report that the person's hair is fixed. It no longer has a red streak in the top of it. And I feel bad because I hope that I did not cause them to have to fix this streak in their hair. I didn't want to guilt the person into doing that. But, okay, it looks much better now. You look good now. You got the hair is all dyed one color. Okay. Well, anyway, the reason I'm talking about this is, you know, these pictures are funny, these pictures are entertaining, these pictures are, you know, sometimes shocking. But it's an interesting world because some people are just more creative than others, let's say. I think some people send pictures and they try to be funny, but I don't really get the joke of the picture. Now, this could be my sense of humor, that I just have no, I don't get it. I don't get why the picture's supposed to be funny. And shocking pictures, I mean, you've got to be pretty shocking to shock me at this particular point. Because when you're on the air, you just develop a skin to not be shocked. But if you're going to take a picture, and I'm not even necessarily talking about me here, if you're going to take a picture and send it to somebody and try to be funny or try to be shocking or just try to be entertaining to some degree, work on it a little bit. Think about it before you take it, because think about, is the other person very quickly going to pick up on what you are talking about? And the funny thing is, now I'm getting pictures from people. You know, most of the people who have sent me pictures over time now are sending me pictures. Right? See, this is the power of radio, because it's live and it's happening even as we speak. Now I'm getting strange pictures from people. Now, the one that I like the most so far is the hair dye picture. That's a good picture because it shows that red line has been taken out. But the other pictures, some of them I understand, some of them I do not understand. So I guess that's just the way it goes at this particular point. Okay, we'll see what goes on with that over the next 2 hours. Now, but people also try to do that. See, some people try to shock you with their words. Now, this is a whole different thing. Words can be shocking. I'll give you that. But you've got to be pretty shocking in your words, or pretty funny in your words. You have to have a pretty, pretty strange point of view. Pretty strange sense of humor to make me laugh or to shock me. Because it just takes a lot to do it while I'm on the air. It has happened very, very few times. It's just like the pictures. I'm not normally shocked or laugh because it's just not that shocking. But that's that at this particular point. Where else are we at here this morning? Okay. Oh, you know what? I heard somebody say something yesterday that this is one of my pet peeve sayings, because I know people don't, you've heard this. Okay, here's one of my pet peeve sayings. Call me if you need anything. Now, people will see people who they have not seen forever, and they have no intention of helping these people. And if you called them, they wouldn't answer the phone, they wouldn't talk to you, they would have no intention to do anything. But have you ever had these people who every time they're with you, for some reason they feel obligated at the end of the conversation to say, call me if you need anything? As if you would call them anyway. It's probably the first time you've seen them in years. I don't know what that is. What psychologically is that? Let me know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, tell me what this whole thing is with call me if you need anything. I never tell people to call me if they need anything. Now, very rarely have I ever told people to call me, because I'm really in the main not a phone person. But sometimes I will tell people to call me if I think my message is not getting through in text or on the internet. Like, some people just don't get it. They don't get what I'm saying. Or they take something that I'm saying funny and sarcastic, and they don't seem to understand that I'm being funny and sarcastic, that I'm not trying to be mean to them. So I'll tell somebody to call me then to straighten something out, or if I don't understand something somebody else is saying, I'll tell them to call me, because I want to try to understand what they're saying, and you can only do that with your voice and words sometimes. But in the main, I don't tell people to call me. I don't tell people to call me if they need anything. And as a matter of fact, who really does this? I mean, honestly, you call family members. I think a lot of people call family members when they're having trouble. But who calls their friends? Do you have a friend that you would call at 3 o'clock in the morning if you were in a jam? Is that a real thing? Because a lot of people say that, but it never really happens. I think we are, as society, kind of funny in that way. We don't really want to bother people. We don't really want to inconvenience people. Now, we'll inconvenience our family all day long. But as far as people who are friends, we don't really want to inconvenience them. So it's kind of funny to me when people says, call me if you need anything. People say that. Call me if you need anything. You have my phone number? Call me if you need anything. Every time you see them. The truth is, if these people really wanted to be there for you, they would call you more often and see how you were doing. They would not wait for you to call them. That's not hard to figure out. Let me know what you think about that. Love to hear your opinion. 43 minutes past the hour. 43 and a half minutes past the hour. All right, we're getting a phone call. Go ahead, caller.
First things first, Scott. You got to look at what's a friendly acquaintance and what's a friend. I've got a lot of people I'm friendly with. I got like two friends in this world. And yeah, I had to call her one night at 3 a.m. and wake her up out of a sound sleep. I was working at Whirlpool, and my daughter thought it would be a good idea. I had two vehicles at the time, and the one I left at my house, her and her friends thought it would be a good idea in the middle of the night to go joyriding. Well, the geniuses ran out of gas.
Oh.
And I'm someone that likes to take, from time to time, their attendance right down to the very wire. I couldn't leave work or I wouldn't have had a job. So I had to call my best friend, get her up out to bed, and she had to jump on the highway. Well, she didn't have to, and that's why she's my best friend. But she got out of bed and drove to Bucyrus to pick up two teenage girls from the police station. And the funniest part is I'm sitting in the cafeteria at Whirlpool eating a Spam sandwich, and I think that it's my older son playing a joke on me, so I refuse to believe that it's even the police. I said, okay, Gage, yeah, right, joke's over. And he said, ma'am, I don't know who Gage is. This is Officer Baker of the Bucyrus Police Department. We have your daughter here. I said, oh, sure you do. Well, okay. And so finally I said, we'll put her on there. And then you better believe when I heard my daughter get on there and was sobbing, mom, it's really me. I about fell out of the chair.
Well, you know, and that's a great story, but the truth of the matter is, see, here's the problem with me. I never say that. I never say, call me if you need anything, because I just think it's a little phony with most people.
Well, I wouldn't say it to everybody, but my best friend, if she needed a kidney, I'd be there.
Well, but here's the thing, and I feel bad about this in a way, because I'm one of these people, I turn off everything that's an electronic communication device at night when I go to bed. So if you tried to call me on the cell phone, and I don't even give people really that number. If you tried to call me on the cell phone, if you tried to call me on any like Facebook or anything, I would not hear it in the middle of the night because all the devices are off, or I've left them in the kitchen, so I wouldn't hear it anyway. And I do still have a landline telephone, but in the bedroom and all the other rooms.
You still have a landline telephone?
Oh, I do, yes.
Oh, come on.
I have to crank it up in the middle of the night sometimes. But the thing about this landline telephone is that I have a telephone in every bedroom, and I have three bedrooms in my house, including my own bedroom, but the only phone that has the ringer turned on is the one in the living room. So there's a good chance if you called me at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, I probably would not hear the phone ringing anyway.
Well, as much as I hate to admit it, I'm one of those people that's grown addicted to my cell phone, and it's always on, it's always turned up, so...
Well, but
if
here's,
you need me, call me.
But here's what I will say in this matter, though, because I think this is important. A few weeks ago, and I think I told this story on air, somebody called me that I would not have expected before I came into the station here. They called at like 6:30 in the morning. And I thought, why is this person calling me at 6:30 in the morning? This is very strange. Because usually I'm not getting calls at 6:30 in the morning. And they called me. It was on the landline telephone. I was still at home. I hadn't left yet. I picked up the phone and I talked to them. And I think they just wanted to talk. I think they were upset about something that had happened
at
over...
At 6:30 in the morning?
Well, I don't think... It wasn't like casual talk. I think they were upset.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't like, how's your day been so far?
Oh,
it just started. I don't have much to say. But no, it was. I think something had upset them. There was a trauma in the middle of the night, and they wanted to talk about it. And, you know, to be honest with you, even though I'm not, I probably, if she would have called at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would not have answered. But the fact that she called at 6:30 and took the time to call me, I did appreciate that because I figured she must think of me as a really good friend because you only, as you just said, inconvenience a really good friend.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, I think the terminology, that's where it's at, friendly or friend.
Yeah,
if you're my friend, I'm going to go to the end of the earth for you, and I expect the same in return.
You've got it right. That's exactly right.
Have a good show, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's a very interesting question, because I had never really thought about that until... I got that call at 6:30 in the morning, and I thought, you know, this is somebody who they didn't know if this would inconvenience me or not, but yet they did it because they had had a trauma in the middle of the night. So I appreciated it. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot I could do at that particular point except to say it'll be okay, which I think it was okay. But that's different between a friend and being friendly with somebody. There is a difference. And as the caller just said, there are some people you will bail out of prison or bail out of jail in the middle of the night, and there are some people who you might not. I don't know. Who would you call in the middle of the night if you needed somebody bailed out of jail? Because that's always the one you talk about. Who would you call if you were in serious trouble in the middle of the night? And I'm not talking about a family member, because family is always first on the list. For some reason, we're always okay to inconvenience family members. But if you couldn't call a family member, who would you call? Who would you go to? Who would you feel safe? Because really what this is all about is comfort. You feel comfortable with that person. That's why you're calling them. Or you think they might have the answer to your problem. Not they won't always have the answer to your problem, but you think they might, and that's why you call them. So who is the person? Do you have those people in your life outside of your family? 740-383-9944. Now, I have always said this. Now, I'm not a night owl anymore. Doing a morning show, I'm really not a night owl. I mean, I will stay up if people are over at my house, and I've come in here tired before because of that, and I'll just go home and take a nap when the show's over with. But by trade, I'm not a night owl. I'm usually in bed by 11 o'clock, 11:30, you know. Sometimes I'll stay up till 12, but really no later than that. I'm going to get back to this in a second because this is part of the conversation. Go ahead, caller.
My friend Polly.
I've met your friend Polly. Good lady.
She would be here in less than a minute if I needed her.
So you would call her at 3 a.m.?
Oh, absolutely, if I needed her. And she could do the same for me.
Now, getting beneath this, because here's what I think is the real point. Why is it her? What is it about that it would be her and not, I'm sure, other friends that you have?
I guess just the connection. She's even though she's not family, she's family. And I know that I could trust her with my life.
See, and I think you just said something very important, because for some reason, and it is true, even if you haven't talked to a family member in a long time, you don't feel weird about inconveniencing them. You don't even think a second time about calling them in the middle of the night, and maybe that's because they're family, and I think it just goes to what you just said, that the friend who you would call in the middle of the night seems like family.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think...
And she could do the same. Me, just I would be there. Actually, if I tell somebody, I know this has been a conversation for you today, but if I tell somebody, you know, if you need me, I'm here. That's true with me. If I'm needed, I'm can help you, then I'm here.
Well, see, I'll tell you where this came from. It's two people who I have known for a long time, and they're good people. I mean, they're not bad people at all. But when I go, let's say I know a person very well, and they come to visit that person, and I know darn well that they have not talked or visited that person in 6 months, They will show up. And every time they leave the room, and this has been going on for years, I've known them for years, they will always say, you've got my number right, call me if you need anything. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, you haven't even talked or seen these people in 6 months.
You ought to just to see, you ought to call them and find out if what they say is true.
Well, yeah, but you see, I think they would probably avoid the call, not on purpose, but they would say, well, why is this person calling me?
Oh, well, that's a shame. That's not a friend.
No, but don't you think, because, you know, as I say,
month or two ago when this call happened at 6:30 in the morning for me. I mean, was it a little bit of an inconvenience? Maybe. It slowed up my morning a little bit. It was something I didn't expect. But in the grand scheme of things, I think of that person in a much better way now because they felt comfortable enough to call me at that
time.
Yeah. So I feel much more, I don't want to say close. I don't know if that's it. But
maybe
I feel
honored.
Yeah, you do. You feel honored.
You know, they chose you.
Yeah, even though it inconveniences you, you're very glad that you became one of their go-to people because you can't plan that. You can't say, you know, I'm going to have a trauma tonight and I'm going to call you at 6:30 in the morning.
Okay.
You know, although some people probably do that. I don't know. But I think this is a very interesting psychological thing, especially during coronavirus, because a lot of people do need help. I know a lot of people who can't leave the house because they've got little kids, and the problem doesn't have to do with little kids. And if you don't have little kids, which I don't, you know, have you ever had somebody call you up and just say, I'm having a really awful night. It's the middle of the night. I'm scared or I'm worried or I'm upset. I just want you to come over and be here.
And I would do that.
Yes. And that's a thing, too. You know, that's a big sign of trust.
I've done that.
Yeah, yeah. So. And it's great when you do it. And I think people shouldn't feel like they're burdening somebody when they do it.
I agree.
Well, hey, I thank you. That's very, and your friend Polly, who I have met, I can totally understand that.
Yeah, she's a joy.
She is. Thank you.
Uh-huh, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's a conversation this morning, and I do believe that. And again, who's your person? Do you have these people in your life? What do you think about this subject? 740-383-9944, 55 minutes past the hour. It's interesting. Because, as I say, I'm not a late-night person anymore, but it's also about late night. If somebody shows up on your doorstep and they don't even call, I guess sometimes they've called. They'll say, I'm on my way over to your house, and it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and you're thinking, what in the world? Why? And then they'll tell you when they get there, obviously. But have you ever had that? That's very bonding as well. I don't know why. I guess it's because it's a time. If you go to somebody's house during the day, even if there's a trauma, you expect the person to be awake and you expect the person to be there. But at night, it's different because you don't know if they're awake. You don't know if they're going to be there. It's just different. You don't know if they're going to answer the door. You don't know if they're going to answer the phone. So that's a thing, too. And I've had that, you know, where people have called and then just beat on the door until you get out of bed. And at the time, yeah, you think it's an inconvenience, but once you see that person and you see they're upset and you see that they need something, even if you can't fix the problem, you do feel a little more, it's not close. Close is not the right word. You feel a little more appreciated by that person that they felt that they could come to you when they felt that they couldn't go to anybody else. Now, the truth is, they might have called 10 other people before they got to you, and maybe you were the only one who answered the door. But regardless, they felt comfortable enough. And as the caller just said, the key word is, even though you're not family, they think of you that way. They put you in that category of people they can inconvenience, much like their family. Now, here's a weird thing. I was out last night, so I still have an answering machine, too, right along with the landline. I came home last night, and I only tell this story because we're getting close to Mother's Day. I had a message on my answering machine from my mother. And I'm not even sure I should tell this story. Yeah, I can tell this story on the air. Mom doesn't care. I had this answering machine message from my mother. Now, she says something to me on the answering machine. It's a very short message, but she says, this thing that's supposed to happen Friday is now going to happen Thursday. And it's an answering machine message. It's not me talking directly to her. And I'm listening to her say this on the answering machine. It's not going to happen Friday. It's going to happen Thursday. And I'm thinking to myself, what was supposed to happen Friday? Because she spoke like I should have known what was going to happen on Friday. And I had no idea what she was talking about, but apparently what was going to happen on Friday was now going to happen on Thursday. So, now see, here's where most people would call the person. But I can't call people. You know, I have that disease. So I didn't call her. I sent her a text message, and I said, what are you talking about? What is happening Thursday? What is this thing you're talking about? I have no idea. What are you talking about? So within 5 or 10 minutes, the phone rings, and it's Mom. And I get her on the phone, and I say, she says, first thing she says, now this is my mother, first thing she says is, you know that thing I told you about? And I know that she knows, because of the text that I just sent her, that no, I don't know what she's talking about. So I said to her, I said, no, you didn't tell me about that. You've never told me about that. I have no idea what you're talking about. And she said, oh, yes, I talked to you about, and I said, no, I said, we don't talk very often, and you did not tell me about this thing. And I could not go to the thing today anyway. So, and she didn't care about that. It wasn't a huge thing. But then she says, as the conversation goes on, well, I texted it. I know I texted it to you. Well, I didn't get it. And this is the problem with text messages. So there you go. Would I call my mother in the middle of the night? I don't know. Probably not. I'm trying to think of who my go-to person would be in the middle of the night. Because to be honest with you, about 2 months ago, I won't tell you the circumstances, but about 2 months ago, I didn't think about it at the time, but I should have called somebody in the middle of the night, like 3 o'clock in the morning. I think about it now, I probably should have, but at the time, I didn't think about it. And maybe that just goes to prove that I would not call anybody at 3 o'clock in the night or 4 o'clock in the morning or whenever that happens. So maybe that says something more about me than other people. So, there you go. It's an interesting hour. It's an interesting conversation. We've got a break, but we're coming back in 10 minutes. We'll continue this conversation. I like this. Plus some more stuff. Stay tuned, WWGH Radio.
Killing innocent people who had no right to be in Iraq, period.
WWGH Radio 107, streaming live on the internet, www.